Going Along podcast. I'm your host, Emma Thomas, and I'm delighted to welcome along today Petra Coveney, who is the founder of Menopause Yoga, which started life in 2013. She's an international teacher, trainer, author, and guest speaker, specialising in supporting people through the stages of perimenopause to postmenopause. She's now trained more than 700 menopause yoga teachers in more than 40 countries. She's the author of Menopause Yoga, a Holistic Guide to Supporting Women on Their Menopause Journey, which brings together modern Western medical science with ancient Eastern well-being, reframing the menopause as a second spring awakening with an opportunity for long-term health and happiness. Welcome to the podcast, Petra.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you for inviting me on.
So I imagine back in 2013, the conversation around menopause was vastly different than what we have now, 11 years later. Were you one of the sort of the few people that was really talking about this at the time?
Yes, it was back in the dark ages, as I call it. So there had been, just to kind of put some historical perspective on it, there had been a surge of interest and well-being and support. A lot in America, which then came over to the UK and across Europe, but that was in the 1970s and then 80s. But then there was the scare, the health scare about HRT, and the medical profession just locked down, everything just shut down. And we entered this dark ages where there was no information. So what's kind of interesting is if you do some research and look for books or anything online, you can find things from about the 70s and 80s, the feminist movement that was going on at that time, and then there's nada, nothing. So when I was going into my perimenopause, there wasn't any information. And you'd go to the doctor and say, I think I might be coming in towards my menopause. Because back in those days, Emma, nobody used the word perimenopause. It didn't trip.
Well, even now, I think quite a few people are still hearing it for the first time, certainly.
And I don't think my doctor even knew about it because she hadn't had any menopause training. They just did a blood test and said, you're kind of getting near there. Maybe, yeah, nothing we can do. I was like, surely there must be some kind of support. And they said, well, we don't want to give you HRT. That's just not where we want to go. And I said, what about nutrition, herbal remedies, or even just some other women to talk to? And
anything.
And they just said, no, there's nothing. And I said to them, come on, I'm getting desperate here. There must be something we can do. I said, look, why don't I set up a women's support group where we can have regular meetings and, you know, I'll do some research, find out about nutrition and herbal remedies and yoga and exercise. And unfortunately, at the time, they were saying, I'm sorry, we can't use the medical space, this health centre for this. And I tried various other places. They said no. And at that time also, Emma, which is really sad to say, the yoga world was very anti the medical world. So when I said I want to run menopause workshops and classes in a yoga studio, they would both say, well, can't you call it something else? Not the menopause? You know, that's kind of turned people off. Call it women's yoga or something. But they also said, we don't want to know about HRT. We don't want to know about the medical side. And for me, Emma, I used to be many moons ago a BBC radio journalist and a producer. And I love my facts. And I've been educated. It doesn't matter if you're educated or not. I think we all deserve to have factual information, don't we? So we can make informed choices about our own health and well-being. So I wanted to bring in that Western medical science and that science and knowledge around nutrition, herbal remedies, vitamin supplements, exercise, all of that, and the psychology, as well as what I knew, which I was now a yoga teacher. So I wanted to bring in yoga, meditation, breath work, all of those kinds of things. So yes, at that time, Emma, it was a very lonely place. And when I launched Menopause Yoga officially in 2013, I actually came up against a lot of resistance from my own female friends. They said, don't call it that, because it was a bit icky. you know? And so for me, it's so exciting, having been a pioneer back in those days, it's so exciting now to see people talking about menopause as if it's perfectly normal.
Which of course it is. But yeah, it is. It's so interesting, even in the last, well, even just since really I started the podcast 3 years ago, the extent to which the conversation has moved on. Although I have to say, chatting to somebody who was based in the US, not for the podcast, but for something else, and how different still the sort of the situation is over there. So there's definitely a long way to go.
Isn't that interesting, Emma? So as I said before, the original movement around menopause came out of the feminist movement in America. But because that was shut down, everything just shut down. Now in the UK, we are the leaders of the menopause movement worldwide. And I work with teachers, people, women all over the world. And they are looking to us for factual information and to break that taboo. So I think we're now starting to see that shift and change in the United States, which will then, I think, take the world by storm, because they're really embracing what we're sharing. But it's interesting that, you know, it's kind of gone back to America. One of the things that people often say to me is, oh, you know, women in Japan, China, India, they don't have a menopause, do they? And I smile because I work with those women in India and China and Japan. And I can tell you, yes, they
definitely do.
We all have a menopause all over the world. It's just that we might explain it or experience it slightly differently, depending on our culture, the society around us. And there are some little nuances in terms of some of the symptoms. But basically, everywhere, all over the world, women are on average age, average 50, 51, 52, will go through the menopause, and they will have a range of symptoms.
As somebody, I've done yoga for off and on a while, many years. I'm probably at a point now where I'm focusing so much on sort of strength and resistance training that I, you know, I maybe get to do yoga once a week, which for me, I would like to be able to do more, but I've got to be kind of realistic with time. So can you unpack for us some of the ways that menopause can be sort of supported through yoga? Because I imagine it's not just as simple as do some stretches and feel wonderful.
Well, it is. And it's also,
it's that easy.
Wonderful afterwards. It's kind of like you should ask for your money back, really. Thank you for asking that question, which contains the nuances, which is a much more sophisticated view of what yoga is. And thank you for acknowledging that. In the past, you might find some research studies online that go, oh, some women in a country, they did some yoga and this is what happened. And what's really frustrating about that is they don't really unpick what the actual yoga was, what the poses were, what the approach was, what the breathwork or meditation could have been. And so we don't really know what was it that worked in that particular study or didn't work. But what I will say from having worked in this space, and this is my full-time work, it's my passion, working full-time with women all over the world, that in the perimenopause, you need a different style of practice to what you need at menopause. And then in post-menopause, you need another style of practice.
Oh, interesting.
So there are different stages of menopause and there are different needs of menopause. Just as there are, if you were talking to a nutritionist, they'd say, this is how you should be. Most people will benefit from eating in perimenopause as compared to post-menopause. So there are same nuances in your yoga and exercise practice. The other thing to say is that yoga sits within a holistic program. So the menopause yoga approach isn't just do a yoga pose. This is a magic pill. It's going to cure everything or make you feel better. Yoga sits within the holistic package of including changes to your nutrition,
sure.
Potentially taking medications such as HRT, if that's right for you, or maybe some herbal remedies or complementary therapies such as massage or acupuncture or a whole range of things. So it's a holistic approach of which yoga is a key part. And in my opinion, yoga can help prepare the person to open up to these life changes. So yoga isn't just a yoga pose. It's a mindset, an approach that helps to see yourself, connect with yourself, and then reach out and seek the self-help that's going to support you. So I hope that helps to kind of give a bit of clarity. And then can I just check in with you, Emma? Where are you in your menopause? Are you perimenopausal post?
I would say I am perimenopausal. So I've just turned 51. I still get periods, and I started taking HRT actually in June of last year after having thought about it a lot for 2 years. Decided to take the plunge. Yeah. So I'm very interested in what you were saying about having a different approach for those different phases. So I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Maybe that's what you were going to kind of delve into a bit more deeply.
Exactly. So in your perimenopause, and of course, perimenopause can be 1, 2, 3, 7 years. So it's a long stage, and there could be different symptoms that arise at different times. But in general, what we know about perimenopause, for anyone listening, is that it's a time of turbulence and fluctuations in your hormones. And even if you're taking HRT, you're still going to feel those changes happening underneath the HRT, because it's not just about putting estrogen and progesterone back in your body. There's a neural rewiring going on in your brain. Everything is being realigned, and that's a time of instability. So in terms of what your body is going through, if you think about teenagers who are going through puberty with that influx of the hormones, and then we're going through the other side, what you'll notice is that teenagers get very tired. Yep. Their whole body is focusing on a major physical, psychological, mental transformation.
That's really interesting you say that, because my son's 13. I hadn't thought about the kind of the fatigue that comes with that. And yeah, I have it. That's really, really interesting that you pick up on that.
So we call it the teenager becomes the queenager. I didn't coin that phrase. I can't remember her name.
Eleanor Mills, I think.
But it's so true. So when you look at the teenagers, they're tired. They sleep a lot because their body and their brain are going through transformation on a cellular level. Digestion, everything is changing. And the same for a woman going through her perimenopause. So what you'll often see in perimenopause is a fatigue. But because we're these adult women who may be running a household, managing children, or looking
all the things.
Elderly parents, maybe we've got work, colleagues, friends, we're juggling so much. Mm. We don't get that chance to lie in bed until 12 o'clock midday, do we?
That would be nice.
So what we end up doing is pushing through. And we've all been told in the past by the culture, the male society, the male guided society that we live in, that we should just get on with it. Yeah.
Do all the things. You can have it all. You can be it all.
And then we get into burnout. So depending on the individual person, the individual woman's life and lifestyle, of course, all of us are different. I don't have the same life as another person, or you do, Emma. So when you're going through the perimenopause, there can be extreme burnout and fatigue. And you've also reached that stage of your life where, you know, think about a big pot of soup, and you've been ladling out the soup to everybody in your life, your whole life, because you're putting them first. And then you get to perimenopause and you're scraping the bottom of that soup pot. There's nothing left. So you get to the point where your body, if you keep pushing through, it's gonna stop you in your tracks. And it's either gonna stop you through illness, fatigue, other symptoms that maybe make it less able to function in your daily life. So to turn around and say to that woman in perimenopause who's having that experience, go to the gym, lift weights, run a marathon, do this HIIT class. Well, all you're going to do is, number one, create more fatigue. Number two, a sense of failure, because she's not going to feel great. She's just going to feel even more exhausted after that. And if you're that fatigued, you're actually going to injure yourself. I know it, I see it all the time. And then lastly, it's a bit like, think about pregnancy. If the pregnant woman didn't sleep and rest or take life a little bit easier when she's transforming her whole body, she's going to get into difficulty. And similarly, if you're transforming your body in your perimenopause, if you don't give yourself the time to rest or take it a little bit easier, your body is not going to transform and get to the other side. So the wisdom of perimenopause is to do, you still want to be a little bit active. So I say do yin yoga, yin yang yoga, where you're really stretching into ligaments, releasing into the tissues, some breath work, some meditation, and some restorative yoga to put more juice, energy back into your battery. So you're still doing something, but then you end with some restorative yoga. There are certain meditations, mantras, and a perspective that I share in menopause yoga that helps women to also accept the psychologically and emotionally the changes they're going through.
Mm. So there can be quite a lot of resistance, I guess, because of the sort of the negative. We do hear so much of the negatives.
We do, don't we, Emma? And it's that resistance. It's interesting. When you resist, your muscles tighten. You create more heat and tension in the body. You can't breathe as deeply and you end up having worse symptoms. Also, as we now know, the perimenopause is an internal stress event. So your body is going into fight and flight response, which is something we talk about a lot in yoga. So when you've got a stress response is due to the change in your hormones, the decline or fluctuation in your essential hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. So you have an internal stress event. And what we now know is that the hormones that we need for daily life, as well as reproductivity, balance normally with the hormones that are the stress hormones,
cortisol, adrenaline.
And adrenaline, thank you. If we increase the stress in our lives, it's going to decrease the body's ability to produce the other hormones. So we get into an imbalance. So on a really simple level, yoga can help to reduce that stress, bring you back into balance. And then maybe you're going to start thinking, okay, I feel okay now. Maybe I can look at my nutrition, or maybe I can look at my medication, or I can look at this or this. So it's just, let's bring ourselves back into balance so we can make healthy choices and decisions. Yeah. And then I'll try to make this little last bit a little bit faster. Sorry, the long explanation. But in that menopause stage, we might notice more anxiety, more overwhelm, insomnia arising, and also the fatigue. So we do need to keep moving. We might notice some joint pain, frozen shoulder, lower back, muscle tightness, and instability. So the practice we do then in the menopause is very much a flowing practice, which is breath initiated in order to somatically release any joint and muscle pain, help to tone the vagus nerve, which helps to calm, rest the body, helps you rest and digest. And then we guide you into meditation and then a restorative practice. So there's still movement, but we end in restorative. Because the menopause stage is like your wintering stage, like we are now, where you need to really rest. And what I've noticed, Emma, is that the people who refuse to rest and listen in to what their body needs, those people get to post-menopause and they haven't rested. So if we think about taking a note out of nature, if the nature around us doesn't hibernate, doesn't rest, let go of the leaves off the trees in the wintertime, then if it didn't do that, it wouldn't have the energy, the sap, to reemerge into spring. Mm. So what I notice is that those people who just try to push through.
Power through. I'm not giving in. It won't break me.
Or maybe we feel we can't because we've got to keep earning money to support our families or keep our jobs. You know, there's no judgment here, but those people who don't have the headspace or the financial ability to do more rest, they end up in the post-menopause and they haven't stepped into their second spring. They haven't got the energy, the resources, they've expended it. And that's really sad to see, because I see them women going into their post-menopause feeling more fatigued, lonely, depleted, depressed, loss of joy, that anhedonia, weight gain, which is not a judgment here, but it's a weight gain that comes from an inactivity of, I don't have the energy or the desire to get out and do anything active. Whereas those people who do listen in and make those changes through perimenopause and menopause, I notice that they are more able to step into their second spring with vitality and really embrace what second spring has to offer. That's your post-menopause. So to answer that question, very long-winded, I'm so sorry, everyone. It's to say that that is when I start bringing in stronger yoga practices, more balance to give you proprioception, more muscle strengthening, more bone strengthening. And I'm not ashamed to say it, I work with a lot of women of this post-menopause age range where I bring in weights. So we mix up, we mix in lifting weights, using weights to build bone and muscle strength and tone. And we use the yoga stretching and movement and meditation. So does that kind of...
That's so interesting. I hadn't really thought about the kind of the nuance of sort of following that, because as you say, it's a process and of kind of that kind of whole upgrade. It's not necessarily linear. It's not straightforward. There's so much happening, and actually thinking about it in those sort of three phases that you've just so beautifully described is really eye-opening. It's really, really powerful, very interesting. I mean obviously I'm kind of aware of those distinct phases, but I hadn't really thought about the sort of the, you're coming at it obviously from a kind of a combination of what the physical needs are, but also what the psychological, emotional needs are. So those kind of subtle shifts in terms of what you're doing and what your body needs you to do in an ideal world, as you're kind of going from one end of that kind of upgrade to the other.
And what's wonderful in menopause yoga, which this isn't a phrase that is as well known, but it's called yoga therapy. So we're taking a therapeutic approach to the yoga practice, which includes body, obviously, but also your mind and your spirit. Because I know spirit can, or soulfulness, it can be one of those words that people feel a little bit uncomfortable about. But whatever your religious belief or no religious belief, I promise you, because I've been doing this for over a decade with women all over the world, what you see is this the reconnection with this inner self, this inner voice.
I get very emotional sometimes when I do yoga, to the point of almost being in tears, and that's just me on my own. So I don't know what it must be like in a room full of other women that are kind of going through this with you.
Well, that's actually, let's talk about that, because menopause yoga, I designed it specifically to be a collective experience. Do you remember I said, I went to that doctor and I said, look, are there any women's groups? Anyone I can just talk to?
Like, what are you on about?
What I realized is this is also an essential part of it, is to not feel frightened and scared and alone. So when I created menopause yoga, there are women's circle discussions at the start of every yoga practice. And that's to help break the taboo about talking about it. Mm. Everything is private and confidential. We have an agreement at the beginning that we don't share stuff out of our
Vegas rules.
Exactly. But that sense of collectivity, a sense of community is so important. Otherwise, we might start feeling like we're a little bit lost and alone. So I used to get feedback way back in, I actually started creating menopause yoga in 2011 before I officially launched it. And I'd get feedback on after a class or a workshop. And women would say to me, thank you so much, because I felt lost, I felt alone, I felt I was going mad. So never underestimate the power of actually bringing women together. Like we were, like it was the olden days of sitting around a campfire and sharing stories.
That's what so often we're missing, aren't we, when we don't have that, those kind of opportunities, and partly because we all live such busy lives, but also, you know, we're moving around, we're kind of moving in and out of communities. It takes time to build up that psychological safety to share those things.
Psychological safety, that's so important. And yet when you give that opportunity, you hold space. So menopause yoga teachers are trained to be able to be space holders. So a space, it's a very special skill, of a skill of holding a space where there is an allowing. You're allowing whatever comes up in that discussion or that space to come up. You guide and make sure that people are looked after, but you're not fixing, because we don't need fixing. You're not helicoptering in to, you know, solve a particular person's issue. You're holding the space for anything that arises to come up. So that's a really special experience. So when it's menopause yoga, we've got the women's circles. We've got the specialized yoga for different stages of the menopause, but also different symptoms of the menopause. So we have a different practice for menopause rage. We have a different practice for hot flushes or night sweats, a different practice for joint or muscle pain, insomnia, fatigue, a whole range, digestive issues, a whole range of practices for lifting up your low mood if you're feeling that anhedonia, muscle strength, empowerment. So there are lots of different classes for different symptoms that could arise at the different stages. So women's circles, a specialized, tailored practice, but it obviously includes meditation, movement, restorative yoga, breath work, because they are so powerful. And then there's also the psychology, as you said, reframing your menopause, not as a medical symptom or stage. And it's important for us to know where those medical stages came from. They were part of this idea of a sickness, a syndrome. So if we reframe it, we can then acknowledge there are medical stages, but then put that aside and say, I choose to see this as my second spring awakening, which kind of brings us back to that spiritual side. And have you found that you like being outdoors more?
Definitely. I think, even having just sort of, I don't have a huge garden, it's a little bit bigger than a handkerchief, but that is definitely my happy place. And, you know, if that makes me a sort of a middle-aged old fogey, I'm embracing that. But I think, yeah, just definitely kind of having my hands in the soil, thinking about the sort of the changing of seasons, and yeah, obviously not doing that at the moment because it's cold and wet out there, but yeah, definitely just thinking a bit more about that kind of connection to nature.
So what I find whenever I have a workshop or a class and I say to people, have you noticed that you want to be outdoors more? You know, have you noticed you don't really mind if it's wet and windy? You just want to go for a walk and feel the air on your skin, or you want to get into water, you want to be in cold water, or hug a tree, or take your shoes off and walk barefoot? And do you find you just want to sit on a park bench and close your eyes and feel the sun on your skin? And they go, yeah. And what's really wonderful is that there is this kind of the penny dropping, that what seems to happen, of course, I'm always observing other people going, oh, what's going on here? So the theory is, it's a theory, that none of us actually had a menstrual cycle that followed the phases of the moon. And they've done research on it, and it doesn't actually follow the phases of the moon. The phases of the moon help us as females to feel that kind of cyclical connection with our menstrual cycle. and notice the hormonal changes in that cycle. So what seems to happen is in your perimenopause, that's that disturbance because you're not able to cycle with the moon. You're not in a monthly cycle anymore. And remember that menopause means menos, monthly, pause, end. So that's what it's all about. It's coming to the end of that monthly moon menos cycle. And then you get to menopause and it's almost this kind of void, this darkness, this void of where am I now? I don't know where I am. I feel a little bit wobbly on my feet. This is a little bit scary. Yeah, but then you get into your post-menopause, your second spring, and I believe that you land with your feet on the ground and you start to feel that you're more connected with the seasons of nature. So instead of cycling with the moon, you're back here on Earth and you're really connected with Mother Nature. I would call it like a siren call, Mother Nature calling you back to the Earth. And that's my only way of being able to really explain why it is that it's almost like you can see these menopausal women coming out of their houses.
Well, the cold water swimming and the sea swimming is definitely a big thing, isn't it?
And women who work in offices going, I'm going to go out on my lunch break and take my stockings off and walk barefoot in the grass in the park. And like, why? Why am I doing this? So I think it's a really, and I would say that that is that link to that spiritual, soulful change that is happening. Now, in second spring, I know that you've had a previous guest talking about second spring on your podcast, which is wonderful. I come at second spring going back ancient Eastern well-being. So I'm part Chinese, even though I don't appear. You can't see me here if you're listening. My mother was half Chinese, and going back to traditional Chinese medicine, and this is ancient traditional Chinese medicine, they saw that a woman coming to what we call in the West post-menopause, they didn't call that. They didn't say that. They called it stepping into your second spring, stepping into your wholeness. And the reason why they called it second spring is because spring was your youth, your puberty. Summer was your womanhood. Autumn was your perimenopause transition. And winter was your menopause. And then your post-menopause is your second time coming into that
cycle. Your second wind.
In the Western world, we have a very linear view of life. There's a start, there's a middle, there's an end. But in Eastern traditions, whether that's Indian Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, Japanese, Shinto, whatever it might be, they have this view of cycles, cycling. And so they just see it as a natural progression. You haven't come to the end. You're just stepping into the next stage or cycle. So I love that it comes from traditional Chinese medicine, has its roots in that perspective. Because another phrase that they use is stepping into wholeness, stepping into wholeness. So your first time round in spring, you were kind of being made, you know, you're growing yourself.
Learning the ropes.
Yeah, exactly.
How does this work?
Yeah. And you're kind of finding your feet and your ears and your hair. Everything's kind of a bit odd. And then you kind of have your womanhood, your adulthood, and your body has been... Well, either you've used your body for reproductivity, for some of us, others would have been, you know, maybe focused on productivity, workplace, doing things in the world. Maybe you've nurtured other people, family, friends, relationships. But when you come to your second spring, your post-menopause, your body becomes your own. It's not for babies and reproductivity. It's yours. And that's what they mean by stepping into wholeness. You're finally becoming yourself. And can I share with you something? I don't know if any of your other speakers have talked about this, but did you know in your post-menopause, the timbre of your voice drops?
Now, I think I have heard this. Yeah. You kind of get more authoritative.
That's right. Lower timbre of voice is associated with authority. And when your voice drops, it seems to come when you've come through that perimenopause, menopause stage. Maybe you've had menopause rage. Maybe you've noticed stronger opinions, having stronger opinions.
I'm laughing because my husband has definitely noticed stronger opinions. If he's listening, I'm sorry, love.
But don't you just love it? We can laugh about it. Oh, yeah. So actually, in traditional Chinese medicine, if you go and speak to an acupuncturist, they go, oh, stronger opinions, menopause.
It's all good.
It's all good. You're stepping into wholeness, because what can happen is, with the right support, looking after your health, changing your nutrition, your exercise, etc., your attitude towards yourself, if you do all of this work in your perimenopause and menopause, you get into your second spring and you go, you stand on your own 2 feet, you've got the strong opinions.
Bring it on.
And you call out stuff that you think is not right. Yeah. And you start to find your voice, literally start to find your voice, which.
Love it.
I just love it. I hope people listening to this will. I want to share something with you. So something happened yesterday. I told my kids about it. So Emma, you may not realize, but I used to work years and years ago at the BBC, and I was a journalist, and I worked in newspapers and radio and television, but I was really shy. So I would never go on camera. I would never read anything on radio that wasn't written down as a script. And then when I left journalism and I went to work in the charity sector, sometimes they'd say, Petra, you've got to get up and stand up and give a talk. And I'd get heart palpitations, my face would go red, I couldn't speak, I'd feel like, you know, really nauseous, really sick, like, I can't do this. And then I became a yoga teacher, and you have to stand up and find your voice because you're guiding a class. But my voice was very quiet, very tentative. And through the menopause, I started finding my voice, getting more confident. And yesterday I gave a talk at a place called Soho House. It was my first talk for them. Mm-hmm. Room was full of people. And they said to me, oh, Petra, it's quite a big crowd. Could you hold this mic? Could you just speak into this microphone? And it was so funny. Honestly, they gave me this microphone and I suddenly changed. I was like, oh, yes, I've got something to say. And, you know, I didn't just hog that microphone for myself. I went round the room and I gave that microphone to the other women in the room to say to them, what's your opinion? So that they felt they also had a voice. It was such an amazing experience. Hearing these women's voices, hearing this confidence, and acknowledging that the changes of menopause, it's not all bad, negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if we can reframe it as stepping into wholeness, stepping into your second spring, actually, there's a lot to look forward to.
I think that's a perfect place to finish, because you've basically summed up what my whole podcast is all about. So thank you very, very much. If people want to find out more, Petra, where can they find you online?
So you can just search my name if you want to, which is Petra Coveney, or you can look up my website, which is menopause-yoga.com.
I'll put the link to the website and to your Instagram and your Facebook into the show notes, so people can just click on those and easily find you that way. But Petra, thank you so much. It's been an absolutely lovely and very, very inspiring and illuminating conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma.
You've been listening to the Middling Along podcast. Do remember to subscribe to be notified when our next episode is live. And why not visit the blog at www.middlingalong.com to sign up to my newsletter as well. I do hope you enjoyed listening today. If you did, I'd be really grateful if you would consider leaving a short review, as that helps people find the podcast and helps get it noticed. Hope you can join us next time. Goodbye for now.